Navi gives an example that there were two women. Each one had said that they had a baby born to them, but there was only one baby. So Shlomo HaMelech said, okay, let's cut the baby in half. And one woman said, that's a good idea. The other one said, no, give it to the others. So Shlomo HaMelech said, you're the mother. There was once a good boy in yeshiva, and there were two fathers that each one said that their daughter was engaged to that boy. It was a machlokas who he was engaged to. So they came to the Rav, the two potential father-in-laws, and the Rav said the same thing like Shlomo HaMelech. He said, let's cut the boy in half. So one said, absolutely, and the other one said, no, give to the other. So he turned to one that said, absolutely, and said, you're the father-in-law. So if you want to know where I've been for a long time, that's what I've been doing. I've been cutting things up. Seriously, it's great, Baruch Hashem, to be back, to learn with the Chevra. And I want to share with you tonight a beautiful yesod that starts off in Iyun in Halacha. Don't worry, I'll keep the 10-minute Musar Blinet. There'll be 10 minutes of Musar. But a yesod that is very, very dear to me, and I think that in Musar and Avodas Hashem has profound, profound implications. I heard this from Rav Pam, who heard from Rav Hutner, who heard from Rav Chaim. So you're number 5 in the chain, Amir Tzeshem. And your children, your Talmidim, will be the 6th. What's the halach in regards to the same Talumatar? In regards to the same Talumatar, if someone forgets, that's in Yana Diyoma, if someone forgets to say the same Talumatar, so then if they remember before Shema Kolenu, the halach is that they're supposed to assert it in Shema Kolenu. If they remember after Shema Kolenu, so here there's a machloikis between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is of the opinion that you go all the way back to that you put it into Shema Kolenu. You don't go all the way back to Baruch Leinu, you put it into Shema Kolenu. While the opinion of the Bavli is you go all the way back to Baruch Leinu. We're going to analyze that machlokis for a moment. Just one more halacha. If a person completes Shemona Esrei, so then in such a case, and he didn't say the same Talmud of Racha, then he has to repeat Shemona Esrei. But if he hasn't finished Shemona Esrei, so again, if he's prior to Shema Kolenu, he could still make up in Shema Kolenu, just like if someone remembers that he didn't mention a person who's sick in Rifa'enu and has the custom to mention Rifa'enu, he puts it in Shema Kolenu. That everybody agrees. The machlokis is, what happens if it's post Shema Kolenu? Does he go back to Baruch Aleinu? That's how we pass in La Halacha. But the opinion of the Yerushalmi is he only goes back to Shema Kolenu. And the question on the Yerushalmi, this is not a question on Halacha L'maisa, but this is what Reb Chaim spoke about. The question on the Yerushalmi is, why would he go back only to Shema Kolenu? I understand that if the person forgot and he couldn't make it up in Shema Kolenu, then Shema Kolenu is a place of Tashlum and you can make it up. But if anyhow you're going back, go back to the right place. So these are Reb Chaim's exact words. Reb Chaim Zuchusa Yogan Aleinu said that the Yerushalmi holds that you go back to Shema Kolenu because Shema Kolenu is Koilel Kol HaBrachos. Ad Kan Dvar Vakdoshim. Reb Chaim said that the bracha of Shema Kolenu in it includes all the brachos. What exactly does that mean? What does it mean that Shema Kolenu inside of it includes all of the brachos? So I mentioned in the past, there is a beautiful, beautiful saying in the name of the Gra. This I can't say that we could trace all the way back that we heard directly from the Gra. But there's a saying that's said over from the Gra that's absolutely beautiful, which gets to our avoda for tonight. The Gra said that it's strange that we conclude all of the bakashos with Shema Kolenu, the word Shema Kolenu. After all, it's the end of all of our supplications. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear our tefillah, Shomea Tefillah. Why do we emphasize Shema Kolenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear our cry? And the Gra says that the reason why we say Shema Kolenu is because there are two forms of bakasha, there are two ways we entreat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is with words, one is with milim. And then when one reaches the end, after one said all of one's words to God, then one realizes that it's not really captured in words. There's a call, there's a cry of the neshama. Rav Soloveitchik taught this to us in regards to the bracha on shofar. It's l'shmo akol shofar. He described it as the primal, inarticulate cry of the neshama on Rosh Hashanah. The day in which the neshama, which is the cry of the shofar from the breath, was put inside of us, and there's this desire to come closer and closer to Kudsha Bricho. Laniyaz Daiti, that is what Reb Chaim was teaching us. Reb Chaim was saying that we misunderstood the Bakasha of Shemone Esrei. It's not that the last Bakasha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hear my tefillah, but rather, let's use a modern word, Shema Kolenu is a redactic. It's a repeat of all of Tefillah Shemone Esrei, but not Bibchinas Milin, but now it's a redactic in the expression of call, our cry, the cry of the neshama. That's what Shema Kolenu is. So the Bavli holds that Shema Kolenu is a tashlumin. The Yerushalmi holds that Shema Kolenu is a redactic of the entire tefillah, but a cry of the neshama. And of course, the lesson is, whether you go like the Bavli or Yerushalmi lahalacha, is the Yerushalmi is amita shel Torah in terms of the way in which we're supposed to perceive tefillah, the way we're supposed to approach tefillah. Tefillah is not about an expression of words, an expression of intellect only with Kudsha Brichu, but it ultimately has to be a sense of where one's entire neshama is connecting to Kudsha Brichu, that the neshama is crying out. And Shema Kolenu is the place where with all the finite words that we have, we realize there's a place, there's a deeper place that's infinite, the cry of the neshama. Of course, this is not only a story in Lamdus, or a story from the Beis Medrash, or Yesod from the Beis Medrash of the Gra Zechus HaYogayin Aleinu, but of course this is the cornerstone of the Beis Medrash of the Baal Shem Tov Zechus HaYogayin Aleinu. That the Baal Shem Tov, the legend has, that the Baal Shem Tov on Yom HaKippurim was in the Beis Medrash, surrounded by his close Talmidim, and the Talmidim sensed that there was a terrible Gzar Din in Shemayim, because the Baal Shem Tov was broken and his tefillas were bebechia, betachnunim, ba'atzvus safilu. And then towards Ne'ilah time, the Baal Shem Tov was silent. And 10 minutes later, he started up with a tremendous simcha, a joy. The chassidim sensed that the Gzar Din had been annulled. And they asked him, Matzah Yom HaKippurim, Rebbe, what changed? And the Rebbe said, you didn't notice? The world's changed! No, we didn't. What changed in those 10 minutes? The Baal Shem Tov said, you didn't notice it was a poor peasant boy who came into the back of the Beis Medrash, who only found the time and the ability to come a few minutes before Ne'ilah. You remember those Jews at home who come for the last few minutes of Yom Kippur? They look a little strange, they look a little different. This boy was an orphan boy who didn't have the opportunity to learn much. He only learned Kamatz Aleph O, Kamatz Beis Ba, Kamatz Gimel Ga. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Ech Betir Eivishter, I beg you, God, please take these vowels, that's the only thing he learned, and put them together for a tefillah. And the Baal Shem Tov said, Unzere Hechere Kavanas, our high Kavanas, were nothing compared to the tefillah of that poor peasant boy. Because that poor peasant boy was connecting to Kudsha Brich Hu more than anybody else there was connecting with. Our Avodas Hashem has to be deeper than words. The first application is in regards to tefillah, but it applies to all components of our relationship with Kudsha Brich Hu. Is our relationship with God going to be about how many psukim we were mavir sedra, how many dapim we did, how many mishnayas we did, or is there something more ethereal that's taking place when we're learning? That there's an amelus, there's a servitude, there's a joy of connecting to Dvar Hashem. We're so busy sometimes counting the dapim and counting the hours, What about the pure joy of being with Kodesh Abrichu? The Talmidim who were doing Issa V'Heter just took a test today. There's the test, and there's a question of whether you knew it or whether you didn't know it, v'chulei. But what about rejoicing? Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu. Whether, for sure it's important to do one's best to know every word of Kodesh Abrichu's Torah. But what about the Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu of rejoicing in HaKodesh Baruch Hu's Torah? It's not only about knowing the halacha l'maisa, it's also about rejoicing in the Torah of Kodesh Abrichu. And on another level, our relationship with Kodesh Abrichu could be live in the world of finite, or we could connect to that Bechinas Neshama, which is a part of a relationship with Kodesh Abrichu that is in the realm of infinite. It's been reported that Rav Weinberger likes to tell the story of Shaila Karastir, who's become now a very popular tzaddik. I never heard of him, but now he's become a very popular, it takes the mice, and then a travel agent, and then Baruch Hashem, the tzaddik has become revealed, Vamevin Yavin. So Rav Shaila Karastir, Rav Weinberger tells the story of when he was little, when he was still young, and he was the gabbai by the Alaska Rebbe, the Alaska Rav, and his job was to give out the bilkalach by Shalashuddis. Shalashuddis is such a holy, special time. You got to make the most of it. Once upon a time, the Jews, I remember broken Jews that lived very hard lives, some of them even nominally religious, but in Shalashuddis, they were a different place, and right to the Rabin. Even the ones that were nominally religious. We don't have that in our generation. People are nominally religious that they get so high and Raivu Deravin doesn't exist anymore. These were Jews that understood, that still had the taste of that those bilkalach from Yishayel Karastir. And he used to go around, he used to give out the bilkalach on Shalashuddis by the Tisha, the Leska Rebbe. And the Leska Rebbe used to watch him very, very intently when he was giving out the bilkalach with Hasidim report. And they asked him why. Why do you watch him the whole time he's going around, giving around the bread for Shalashuddis? And he said, because Rav Shaila Karastir doesn't realize that there's no more bread in the bag. But he keeps on pulling out. I'm watching a Maisa Nisan. He's taking out more and more bread in a bag where there's no bread that exists. That's an amazing Hasidus Shemaisa. But you know what? You know what that story brings out? There are people who live in a place where they connect. They're removed. They're not constantly constrained by the finite. Those people live in a place that's infinite. And there's so much koach they could create. Whether you believe the Maisel or not, if there's another component to the story or not, the message, what do they say about Hasidus Shemaisis? If you believe all, you're a fool. And if you believe none of them, then you're an apikoiris. But there's a very, very powerful, powerful message over here. And that is, there are people who dip into the bag. People who believe in the kochos of infinite. I think Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita didn't say such a maisonism. He said that we have to realize that even when our bag seems empty, if you really, really want, you dip your hand inside, you're going to pull something out. What a powerful message in Emunah and Bitachon and Kodesh Abrichu. But those who live just in a world in finite, they don't have that ability to pull that out. But those who live in the realm of Neshama, they have the ability to pull that out, to pull that koach out. And it goes into one more level, and that is our relationship with people. It's the way in which we pass over the Messiah from one generation to the next. What's the definition of chinuch? What does it mean? What is Judaism's definition of education? Is it about tests and knowledge? Is it about the number of dafim? Zok deheilige Rashi, vayorek es chanichov. What is the lashon of chinuch? Hu lashon hascholas knisas ha'odom oikli lu'umnes. Chinuch is not about imparting information or simply about imparting information. Chinuch is not about simply inspiring. Chinuch is something else. Chinuch is about noticing the talents and the abilities of an individual, whether it be your children or your talmidim, and every single one of you, even though you feel young now, you're going to get old fast, healthy and well, but you're going to get old fast. And in Mirtz Hashem, you're going to have this opportunity to educate, whether you become a Rebbe or not. You're going to be a parent. In Mirtz Hashem, you're going to be a Mechanech. Says Rashi, the definition of Chinuch is Haskolas Knisas Adam, is bringing a person into a place where they're able to see and actualize their talents and their capabilities. And that requires a koach of kol and not the koach of milim. The ability to see the koach haneshama in every single person. Because that neshama's kochos are infinite and it's not always obvious. The kol guys inspired me this Friday night. I told them a story. I totally forgot about this story. I had heard this. I don't remember if I heard it from a reliable source or not, but I know that the story could very well be true. I asked my wife. I thought I heard it from the Baal Maisa himself, but I'm not sure. So we'll leave the story itself as a legend, but I believe the story is true, and I'll tell you why. Who's the greatest composer of Jewish music in the last 40 years? The greatest composer of Jewish music in the last 100 years is probably the Mazhar Tzur Rebbe and Ben Tzion Shaker. The last 40 years? Zatzal. Last 40 years is A.B. Rottenberg. Sorry if I'm no gay bedover, but it's hands down. There's nothing to talk about. You know how A.B. Rottenberg started? So the legend goes, this is fact, that A.B. Rottenberg is a very shy man to this day. I don't know him personally, but I've been told by others. And he lost his father when he was quite young. I had a fourth grade Rebbe who lived a block away from A.B. Rottenberg. This happened way before, probably before I was born. And his name was Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum. Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum was one of the most unique people, most unique Jews in the last 50, 60 years. He was the one who, quote unquote, invented Dayal Adaf. He did so many things, which ultimately now is why you Torah and Torah Anytime, that started in Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum's basement. Almost all Jewish boys' choirs, the good Jewish music, started Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum. Camping, Jewish camping, started with Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum. Touring in Israel, Camp Stei Chemed, started with Rabbi Eli Teitelbaum. He was an amazing, amazing man. That's a revolutionary with a tremendous vision. A.B. Rottenberg tells a story that in the first couple of months, after he lost his father, there was a knock on the door. Rabbi Teitelbaum knew him from the neighborhood. And Rabbi Teitelbaum was carrying two or three instruments. Rabbi Teitelbaum was also extremely musical as well. He was carrying two or three instruments. And he said to A.B. Rottenberg very simply, he said to him, I have a sense that you'll enjoy these and you might be good at playing them. He saw a quiet orphan boy and the future of real spiritual Jewish music. That comes from an individual who lives in the world of neshama and doesn't live in the world of guf. By the way, when I was younger, I was also in the choir. I was only average. I never got a solo. Rabbi Teitelbaum ran the choir. I never got a solo. But I was in seventh grade, already out of the choir. My voice was already changing. 3 years out of Rabbi Teitelbaum's class, and all of a sudden I get a message. Rabbi Teitelbaum wants to speak to me. He calls me downstairs and he gives me a piece of paper. And he says, I think that you could introduce these songs at the big choir extravaganza. That was the first time I ever taught Torah publicly. I read a few lines off of the paper. Rabbi Teitelbaum had a koach to be able to relate to each kid and say, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. That requires us to be able to go to a place that's outside of Milan, that's in the Bechina of Kol. That was what Reb Chaim was teaching us. Shema koilenu, that the tefillah is koilel kol ha-brachos. It's not that kol is just another bracha. Kol is the deeper component of our expression, kudsha brichu. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya. That we have three takeaways. Number one is to recognize that our tefillah is not simply about pirush hamilim. Our tefillah is about that profound encounter with kudsha brichu and neshama. Our second takeaway is that those who live in the world of neshama live in a higher place of emunah and could tap into a koach of infinite. Whether they're going to do Maisa Nisan like Rabbi Shai Karastir or not, that's less important to Rav Weinberger. What's more important is that when they feel that the bag is empty, to believe that they could dig into a deeper place of their neshama and they could pull out amazing, amazing things inside of themselves. And that's the definition of chinuch. The definition of chinuch is the ability to be able to see in others and ultimately see in ourselves that koach haneshama, that infinite koach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And Be'ezer Hashem, we should tap into it because it's absolutely amazing what could be accomplished when a person is connected to that. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to be Mekadeshem Shemayim with our koach.